All right. Well, as we mentioned in the introduction, we love introducing new community partners here and friends to the For the People family. Lisa Pinikush is the latest. She is the founder and executive director of Rock the Walls Foundation, which is dedicated to empowering and supporting individuals and families impacted by abuse. They really want to provide urgent local and national resources, as well as pushing for reform and accountability and standing with folks who have been failed by the family court system. We're going to have a good conversation with her after we remind you about another event that's coming up next week. Research confirms that girls who participate in sports at lower rates than boys are more likely to drop out as they get older. Girls in the Game at Stratford's Sterling Community Center was created to bring local sports organizations together in one place, making it really easy for girls and their families to explore what's available. You can meet coaches, try new activities, and discover a sport that they may not have otherwise considered. It's happening on Thursday, August 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Sterling Community Center on Main Street in Stratford. You can learn more at sterlingcc.org. All right, Lisa, great to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John. Nice to meet you too.
So let's go back to the beginning of this story and the reason behind your passion to establish we know is going to end up being a very important nationwide network for support. Talk a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I've had a lifelong career in music and entertainment, and based in New York City and this metropolitan area. And I've worked in concert promotions, events, and entertainment. And my life changed about 15 years ago when I realized my own experience and what I was dealing with as a survivor of domestic abuse and coercive control in my own marriage. And as I entered the Connecticut family court system, I went in like every other American thinking, you know, this is, I will get justice as long as I tell the truth and I have the facts. And I wanted to have an amicable parting of the ways for myself, for all of us and our children. And what happened over the next several years obviously changed the course of my life and was really shocking. And when Jennifer Doulos was murdered in New Canaan, I think that really, you know, there's been a lot of obviously situations like this in the state and country, but when that happened so close to home, it was really shocking and eye-opening. And I started to connect with a lot of people in advocacy and in the work in the state, working on Jennifer's law. And honestly, one day I was driving around with my father, Vizini, who has been a musician himself forever. And we started talking about this, and I said, I need to do something. I thought about what I would have needed all these years that I didn't have. And it was a trusted, vetted base and place to go for all of the information, trusted information, people that were going to do what they said they were going to do, and how to find support. So that's really how this started. And then I thought, I'm going to go back to my career. I love what I do. And music has been a part of my world since the day I was born. And like, I think almost everybody understands it's the international language that everybody relates to, and it has shaped culture and made impact since the beginning of time, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that's how this started. I'm going to combine the two because nothing speaks as that, you know, the international language of music is very, very powerful, and people maybe not necessarily will care what I have to say, but they will listen to the artists and the voices from Tina Turner through the decades.
Yeah, certainly there's been a broad representation of individuals who have been victims of abuse in the entertainment industry, and in particular in the music industry. So you have a pretty worthy backup army behind you on this, which is great.
Yeah, there are so many people, and with the connections that I have in the music and entertainment industry, people are starting to come around, and that's my goal, because until something like this hits your life personally, like anything that people advocate for, you don't necessarily understand it, and just like everything going on today that people are shocked and horrified about hearing, it's the same thing until you somebody close to you is affected by it. You don't really understand it. Mm-hmm. So this is very important to get the word out so that people feel safe to live their lives. I mean, this is especially difficult for the children, and I'm now connected globally. So this is a really an international human rights crisis.
Yeah.
Well, anybody dealing with this, we have a lot of people in Connecticut, I could tell you that.
So have you planned for the significantly diverse ways that judicial systems in each of our states kind of handles things a little bit differently? Or are you really kind of honing your advocacy skills around Connecticut's system?
I started a couple of years ago by reaching out across really all of the states, which has been critical to where I'm landing right now, because there are incredible and brilliant people who've done a lot of work. And what I'm doing is I'm not reinventing anything. I want to bring all of these voices into one space. And so people have done a lot of work on deep diving what is going on from Washington throughout every state. And then what I've done is really brought it back here, because I have so many people reach out to me every single day. And I've spoken to a lot of people in the you could say in political arena. Yeah. Some have helped, some have not, but they're all a little bit, I guess you could say, pushed aside. So most people don't know about this. And, I think we all know that mainstream media doesn't cover every topic in the way it should be covered. So that's part of our voices coming together. And I guess to your question, I'm really honing in on Connecticut right now, because we have an unbelievable number of, again, it's mostly mothers, but children who are really homeless, who are being severely affected. We do not have enough housing here. Mm. We don't have people. Yeah. So I'm really focusing on Connecticut right now. Mm. And I have a lot of people ready to speak out, especially being an election year, of course.
Yeah, right. Now, as you kind of cast your net for resources across the country, utilizing Connecticut as kind of the hub that everything else is revolving around, did you find one or two commonalities that kind of rose to the top when it comes to demanding systemic change in like the family judicial arena?
Absolutely. What I can tell you is that from my own experience and so many that I know, I actually did not realize the depth at which I will be careful with my choice of words. What transpires in our courts is not a constitutional way of dealing with the law. And so what I mean is family, and I did not know any of this, of course, and most people don't, that the family court in and of itself is an administrative court. They don't follow basic protocol. So in a criminal court, if you don't have money, a criminal gets an attorney. That is not the same. Most of us, and I speak for myself, I'm now in my 13th year dealing with this. I've been divorced officially for 10, but I'm still involved trying to get, you know, back support for many, many years and much more. But many of us are pro se, which means we represent ourselves because we don't have money. And even if our ex-partners do and they have representation, it's very different. We also don't go in front of a jury of our peers. So the decisions about our lives and our children are left to one person, and that's the judge. And these judges are not voted in. They're appointed by the governor in Connecticut, and every state is different. And there are no cameras in the courtrooms. There are recordings, and you can pay hundreds to thousands of dollars to get a transcript. But at the end of the day, there is one person who decides the fate of your family and your children. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these judges come from many different areas. Some are, I mean, they've never really, there's really very, very minimal training in domestic violence in so many areas. And a lot of them come from anything from personal injury law. And they're deciding the fate of your family and oftentimes placing children with their abusive parent. Mm. So what I've come to learn, and just in the last 3 or 4 years, is rather terrifying. And so, you know, I went to start Rock the Walls to do this as a resource hub and to have concerts to spread awareness. And I will never turn my back on anybody. I'm gathering advocates to help other people, because it's sort of, it's like a once you know, you can't unknow.
Sure.
And there are people behind every one of our pretty white picket fences, and there are people who live in, you know, high rises everywhere. There's no discrimination here when it comes to what we're dealing with, right, unfortunately.
So rockthewalls.org is the website to go if you'd like to learn more about this organization, the events they're planning, about getting involved in some way, whether it's in advocacy, in data collection or maintenance. Lots to learn about at rockthewalls.org. Their founder with us this morning, Lisa Penny Koosh. And we hope, Lisa, that folks will get to know your organization and help you take the next steps and to write the next chapter as this organization takes hold, based here in Connecticut and reaching out into and supporting families who are in disadvantageous court systems and family situations around the country. Thanks so much for the work that you're doing. And we will be talking to you again. I'd like to catch up in 6 months or so and do a check-in and see if we can bring some more people along for the cause. So for now, thanks so much for your time.